Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
For the Lord is good, and His love endures. These are words that were spoken out against the enemy. When a king was surrounded by three armies, a wise king in Judah sent out a choir, and he gave them the lyrics to this song that we're singing. He said, go out before that invading army and say, the Lord is good. And what happened when he did that? The armies turned on each other and scattered, and the victory was won. There is a praise, a victory in praise for you this morning. Some of you just been hammered this week. You're like the Apostle Paul, where he said, there was sent against me a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to pound me, to make me small. But the Spirit of the Lord is here to build you up and strengthen you. And I just feel like I want to pray for some people this morning, just while the presence of the Lord is so strong. If you've had just a real brutal week, you've just been, all you could say is, man, lately I'm getting pounded. I feel like the enemy's just trying to make me smaller and smaller and smaller. I want you to stand up for special prayer just right where you are, because we're going to reverse that right now. There's a God in heaven who knows how to build us up. There's a God in heaven who knows how to stretch us out and make our faith big and our joy big and our peace big, when all the enemy wants to do is just pound and hammer. Now, if you're standing, if you're near someone who's standing, would you just stretch your hands out toward them, and let's just believe for one another that God will just move and touch. People need a touch today. And we want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we just thank you right now for your mighty Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, I'm asking, Lord, just let a wave of encouragement just be released against all the enemy, Lord, and what he's trying to do. Lord, we just declare that you are good. And Lord, we say, arise and let your enemies be scattered. We pray a circle of protection around every person, every child, every young person on this campus, everyone standing in need of prayer. Lord, we pray a circle of protection, a hedge, Lord, around about them. And we speak to their faith and their vision. And we say, Lord, let that vision not be pounded down smaller, but let it rise and expand, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let not their peace and joy be pounded down smaller. Let it expand and be made strong, Lord. Thank you for joy and faith and grace, Lord, to increase over every one of our lives. And Lord, wherever there's a sick person, wherever there's a person with financial pressures and problems, we just declare right now a reversal, a healing, a turnaround in their life, Lord God. Right now, we thank you that in your presence is fullness of joy. We receive this, Lord, and we thank you for building us up through the power of the Spirit of God. And everybody said, hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a shout this morning. Thank God for victory. There's a victory.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
I'm going to introduce a man who's not a stranger to our church. Maybe you've never met him before, but he's been with us two or three times before. And he is one of the great shepherds and leaders of the San Francisco Bay Area. Shiloh Church in Oakland, California is one of the great apostolic fountainhead churches in the Bay Area, a fruitful church, a powerful church. And Pastor David Keitley is here to help us pray for those that are receiving special ministry today later in the service. But I've asked him just to come and bring a brief word from the Lord to us. The preaching of the word is so important. Would you welcome David Keitley to Gateway City Church? We love you. Thank you, sir.
I gave a double portion in the last service, 20 minutes, and I spoke 35. So I actually only have, that means I only have 5 minutes left in this service. So let's get with it, all right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands one more time to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for enlarging this house. We thank you for expansion. We thank you for increase. We thank you that this is a day of visitation. And Lord, you're going to release on this body the gifts and the callings of God in everyone that make this house go forward. How many believe the future belongs to the prepared? And when you put in elders like today, you're preparing for the future. Amen. A building can go only as high as its foundation. It can only grow because the foundation is being enlarged. A lot of churches want to grow, but they have no foundation for their growth, and it's going to collapse in the future because they're not going to be able to hold the weight of the responsibility that comes with growth. But when you get elders in place and you get people in place, you are expanding. Amen? And that don't seem like the right way to expand. We get the crowd and then we get the elders. No, we get the elders before. Amen? You already have a crowd here, but I believe God is going to double this place. Amen? In the next year, and you're going to see the glory of God brought forth. My son been sick and you've been praying for him. I thank God. But our church grew 1,000 people over the time that he was not well. He was out of the pulpit for 7 months. So God's building the church. I said, God's building the church. Revelation chapter 14. Thank you, pastors, for having us. And this is the best wife I've ever had. And it's my first wife in 48 years. And that's a record for California. Revelation 14, 14. Then I looked and beheld a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. The angel and another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap. The time has come. Let everybody say, the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in the sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. I believe we've got to evangelize the church inside and out. Amen? Amen. We have 80 million AWOL Christians in this country who've been driven out of the house because they've been disappointed, they've been discouraged, they've been disillusioned, they've had bad church experiences, they didn't fit in. Some of it was their fault, some of it was the church's fault, some of it was nobody's fault, but the devil, amen, drove them out of the house of God. But I believe there's going to be a mighty visitation in the United States of America, and it's going to be the return of the backslider back to the house of the Lord, and we're going to start to see people, and they're going to be family members, as the seeds were sown in the children, in their youth, and those seeds were sown already, and we haven't seen the fulfillment, but it's time, church, to call them back. It's time to go after the backslider. It's time to leave the 99. It's time to ask God for the harvest to come. Put in the sickle. But before you can put in the sickle, you got to sharpen the sickle. And we got a lot of dull sickles sitting in church. Amen. Hallelujah. They've been dulled right in the house of God. They've been full of unbelief and doubt, and they have lost their sense of expectation. And God wants to come and sharpen you again by his presence and by his anointing. Hallelujah. Get you ready for the new thing the Lord is doing. Amen. How many believe that we need a real touch, fresh new touch of the supernatural in our midst? Amen. The miracles need to happen. Amen. A couple years ago, I was asked to go to the Highland Hospital in Oakland, California, to pray for a brain-dead guy on a Saturday afternoon. And I was pretty much brain-dead myself because I didn't want to go. Amen. I didn't get too inspired about it. This guy's name was Harold, and I went there to pray for Harold in the afternoon. And I laid hands on him, and you know, you guys brain dead. You just know that they just brought you there just to do the final last rites, and so you try to get out your Catholic robe and do what you do, but and get out of there as quickly as you can. I prayed, and he started moving, so I said, I got to go quickly. I prayed a weak, anemic prayer. Some of the best prayers I prayed, the people died, and with some of the worst I prayed, amen, they got healed. Prayed over this guy in the morning. They call me. Highland Hospital calls me. Said, whatever happened in your prayer time, Harold is walking up and down the... Amen. We've now named him Lazarus. He is Lazarus. Hallelujah. Come to the hospital. Amen. And see Lazarus. Hallelujah. Well, Lazarus' family came to the church and got saved and got touched by God. How many know there's people that God is going to touch? Everything that's happened in our world, economically, socially. Amen. The wars that are going on right now, some people are totally freaked out, saying, what is happening in America? What has happened with Putin? And what's going on in Ukraine? And what's going on in Iran? Let me tell you, it's all a setup for the kingdom of God. It's all a setup. Everything has happened economically in America. It's our time to score. It's our time to move up and take our place in the kingdom of God. The revival can't be strategized. It can't be planned. We can't get a group of people together to try to work it out or compel God to do it. I mean, it's a sovereign act of God's timing. And when God gets ready to do it, nothing can stop it. I don't care how dry you are. Amen. Hallelujah. God will even speak to your dry bones. Hallelujah. God will even resurrect you from the dead, and he'll establish whatever he wants to establish. Amen. I believe we're going to see the glory of God in a very beautiful way. Amen. I want to just give you five things today that hinder revival from coming. The first is when we're trying to produce branches, and that's what a lot of churches are, just branches and shades and foliage and beautiful blossoms. It all looks good on the exterior. It's got all the trappings of religion. Amen. But it's got no fruit that remains. Amen. It's got a lot of excitement, a lot of entertainment, amen, a lot of show, a lot of flair, amen, but it's no reality behind it. Amen, it's just a platform show. Amen, some are better than Broadway shows. But, amen, God wants fruit, fruit that remains, fruit. Herein is the Lord glorified, that you bring forth fruit. He wants fruit to come forth. And he wants quality fruit, not rotten fruit. He wants quality fruit to come forth. People, amen, and we reproduce after like kind. We need reproducing Christians, not just members who fill in seats and just suck up air in the church. Amen? Amen? We need members who are reproducing members. Amen? A couple years ago, I was preaching in Indonesia. They had 20,000 elders. Amen. You can look forward to that. 20,000 elders. And I was there asked to preach on church growth. I thought, this is the craziest. As a man, I'm freaked out preaching on church growth to these people. But the Lord gave me a word, and he said, this church is a mile long and an inch deep. And all they're doing is watching the show up here. But these people are inactive. Amen. These people are not functioning. They're just watching, and they need reproducing. And we started ministering to people and about them becoming reproducing saints. Reproduce the life of Christ. Amen. If your church isn't good enough to invite somebody to it, then leave it. If you don't believe in it, amen. What makes a restaurant good is because there's return customers. Hey, that was the greatest restaurant in town. We got people in our church, been there for years, never brought a soul. Amen, Brother David. Hallelujah. Oh, we just come for our own. Hallelujah. This is not about you. This is not about your blessing. This is not about you just receiving. This is not about you getting spiritually constipated every Sunday and getting filled up here. Amen. This... Amen. Some of you need a spiritual enema. Hallelujah. You're cleaned out. Amen. So full of religion. Amen. Yay. I'm from Oaktown, so if I speak, preaching there for over 40 years, and we're right in the hood. Hallelujah. So, amen. We do straight talk there. Hallelujah. All right. Number two. I don't even know what. All right, settle down. I'm wasting my time. Number two, wrong focus hinders harvest. Amen. When you observe the storm clouds and the winds and the rains, all the difficulty and all the opposition, you never sow nor reap. Amen. If you look at the size of the giants, you look at the obstacles, insurmountable challenges, and you constantly think of the negativism, you will never do nothing. You'll never even get out of the bed, and you'll never be productive on your job your career, amen, in school, you won't accomplish nothing in the house of God. Amen. I talk to people all the time who are so small-minded. Amen. If you're poor, don't get around other poor people because you all have the same information. Amen. Do you get that?
Yes.
Amen. Peter's out walking on the water. Amen. The people back in the boat are measuring the height of the waves. We've always got those analytic people around. They've been in this thing for years. They've been in the wave for 40 years. It's time to get out of the way and get in God's way. Number three, third hindrance is people, Luke 19:44. Israel didn't know their time of visitation. Jesus was weeping over Jerusalem. You got to weep over your city and weep over your area. And elders have got to weep over everyone that they're responsible for. The Lord told me a few years ago, if you're not willing to weep over people, amen, you'll have no authority in their life. You will have no authority in your life. Amen. When you weep over them and you intercede for them, then God gives you a word for them. God gives you an encouragement for them. God gives you ministry. God gives you a connection with them in the spirit that you will never have. Amen. By just going through a function. Amen. Start interceding. Start believing for them. Start praying for this generation. Amen. Start praying for the youth of this generation. The Ruth youth are going to bring a great revival. The children are going to be an integral part in bringing in the adults into the house of God. We got to put more time and money into the children's ministry. And I can say that because my daughter's been doing it for 19 years. She did. We all hear about Patrick. Nobody hears about Melinda, but she's been 19 years a youth children's pastor. And in her ministry, she touches about 1,200 kids a week through her ministry. Amen. She's just about 5'1", but she's got a powerful punch in her and anointing in her. She's missed 90% of all of the adult services over the last 19 years. And yet she's kept her face strong and kept her because she believes there's something in there. There's a gold mine in those children.
Yes.
That's got to be reached. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And how many of them are smart as a whip today and they know what's going on?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I believe the Lord is going to bring us a productive area out of our youth. This is our window of opportunity. Amen. It's like the pool of Bethesda. When they came to the pool of Bethesda, if you could have somebody lift you up into that pool, if you were on a cot or diseased, and they put you into the water at that time, you could be healed. But it was a brief window of opportunity. It was when the water moved, amen, and there was a storm on the water. And at that time, you had to be picked up. I believe you've got to seize the opportunity.
Amen.
Come on. I believe we've got to shake the church up in America. Amen. I've gone to China a couple times this year, and I'm going to a number of nations overseas. And I'm just shocked at what God's doing. 30,000 people a day getting saved in China.
Amen.
Amen. By the middle of the century, it'll be 50% Christian. It'll be the biggest Christian nation in the world.
Amen.
Amen. They want to send missionaries to America. They pray every day that America is not going to lose their faith. And we were the ones that started sending missionaries to them out of communism. God's bringing forth life and his presence.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Don't let us miss our time of visitation. Number four. Amen. The word that was spoken didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith. Hebrews 4:2. Everybody get your mixer out. Come on. Mix the word with faith. Mix it with faith. I can preach all day. I can give you some funny stories. I can keep you amused and keep you laughing and everything else. And you can go out of here empty and dry as if you were in a bar.
All right.
Unless you mix this word with faith. Amen. You say, this is my word. Come on, everybody. Reach up your hand like this here and put it down on your heart and say, me too, Lord. Me too, Lord. I receive this word. Amen. I make it personal. I make it applicable. I make it something that's going to work for me and my family. I mix the word with expectation. I mix the word with anticipation. Nothing will drain a pastor more than to talk to a bunch of, owls in the church. Amen. Just sitting there looking at you. Amen. Hallelujah. When he comes and gets up to speak, there should be expectation that signs and wonders and miracles, things are going to happen in your family. Come here believing on Sunday morning. Amen. Don't just come here for another hit. Amen. Come here, hallelujah, to get a touch from God and get free in your spirit. Hallelujah. How am I doing? I don't know. All right, let me get on. Don't limit the Holy One of Israel. I couldn't see the clock in the last service, and Lord, heal my eyes so I can see in this service. Hallelujah. Psalm 78, verse 40. It says, don't limit the Holy One of Israel. Don't put boundaries around what God will do. Don't let tradition and form and what we've done in the past for so long dictate what we're going to do in the future. Our future can limit our past. Our past can limit our future. And God wants to take the limitations off. How many say no limitations? Everybody say no limitations. No boundaries. Amen. We're going for the gold. Hallelujah. We're believing for visitation. Amen. We don't need no more churches. We got too many already. Amen. Half the churches in Oakland are closed. They got bars on them all day saying, welcome. Everybody's welcome. Come in, Church of the Open Door. You just need wire cutters to get in. Amen. We don't need those kind of church. We need people that are available for people. People that hearts are open. People, and they don't have to serve at this place, but serve at every location that God takes you as a representative of this house so that there will be no boundaries. We can release the word of the Lord. And we can see God's purpose brought forth. Amen? Yeah. All right, number five. The fifth hindrance is not to give up too soon. Don't become weary in well-doing. Don't just get into a routine of doing this thing over and over again where you can do it on autopilot. After a while, it doesn't mean much. It becomes familiar to you. Wish there should be such an awe of coming into the presence of God every time we arrive. Such an expectance, such an excitement. God's going to do something today. This is the day the Lord hath made. We are here standing on holy ground. We're believing. Amen. This could be the day of visitation. Hallelujah. That's why you don't want to stay home on Sunday. Say, oh, I can meet God with my television. Amen. Just watch those guys on TV. Well, if you got enough money to pay them, they'll be fine. But amen. Hallelujah. There's something about touching bodies. There's something about touching the church. There's something about being in the atmosphere. There's no television is a supplement, but there's nothing like a good old-fashioned, amen, worship service. Hallelujah. Amen. When Nicole gets up here and leads you in worship and the house of God comes forth and you hear from the apostles of the house and you hear from the leadership and there is direction and focus and there's continuity and there's stability and there's future that can be passed on from generation to generation. Amen. Let me just close with this. Psychologists tell us that even the most introverted person among us touches hundreds of people in their lifetime. Amen. George Mueller, one of the greatest prayer warriors of the last century, he prayed for 52 people during his lifetime. 50 of them were saved in his lifetime and 2 were saved at his funeral. How many? God's faithful. God's faithful. Let my wife stand again, please. Hallelujah. All right. We've been married, as I said, this is our 48th year of marriage. And she said she's going to keep me for till 50. And then she's going to try and renew the contract, but going to cost her a lot more than it did 50 years ago. Okay. Inflation, amen. She prayed for her family for over 35 years. She was the first fruits of her family. Her mother got saved at 72, her father at 69. Her grandmother was 100 years of age. Her younger sister got saved before she deceased, and her husband's got saved, and all of the children have now been filled with the Holy Spirit. Every family member's been touched, but it took 35 years. Amen. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't give up too quick. There's generational salvation. There's household salvation. Amen. Believe that you and your house, every family member that strayed away are going to be brought back to Father. Our children are going to come from afar. They're going to come and be brought back. Amen. Our households are going to be free. Amen. If I don't believe it, well, then you won't receive it. Amen. But let's start believing it. Let's start saying, God, we believe for an abundance to come. We believe for an evangelistic anointing to flow upon Gateway Church like it's never had before. We believe this house is going to be a house of salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. I used to preach about salvation and God moving and bringing revival. My son, when he took over 6 years ago, started practicing it. And every service, there's now between 30 and 40 people coming to the Lord in the church. We have a hot tub on the stage. We just got it about 2 months ago. And you can come into church dry and leave wet. And people are coming, amen, who don't know nothing about God, and they're coming in. One doctor I was telling about, he came to me a couple weeks ago, a new doctor, just been saved. He says, "This is a hell of a good service." I said, "No, I said, we use the H word differently. We say it's a heaven of a good service." But I'll tell you, it was exciting, just the AS excitement. He's got the wrong vocabulary. But we've had people around that know how to do their Shandais and their, amen, Hondas and Deuteronomies. And, amen, they're dry in their spirit. God wants to touch you. Put up your sickle right now. Put up your sickle. Lord, sharpen the sickles of this house. Sharpen the sickles of this house. Harvest is here. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Hallelujah. I don't want to preach the everlasting gospel, so I'm done.
Oh, Pastor David. You have blessed our church today. Thank you, sir. We're going to change the... How many appreciated that word, Pastor David? I tell you, when he preaches at you, you know you've been preached at.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.